Hello, this is Donna Reed, and I'll be reading with you today from the Vermilion County News, this last day in May, May 31st. Let's look at some local news from Danville. Danville Police, Street's third shooting of week probed. This is by Tracy Crane. The Danville Police Department is investigating the third shooting this week on Chandler Street. The call for this latest incident came at 3:56 a.m. Wednesday, when police responded to OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center's emergency room, where a 29-year-old man was seeking treatment for a non-life-threatening gunshot wound to his leg. The man told police he was involved in a physical dispute with another man in the 500 block of Chandler Street, a couple blocks southwest of the Marathon gas station on South Gilbert Street. The victim said the two of them began fighting and the other individual pulled a gun and shot him. Police said the victim refused to cooperate any further with the officers and refused to identify the other man involved. Two of four shootings over Memorial Day weekend in Danville were also on Chandler Street, but several blocks north in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. Danville police said those two shootings, both in the 1200 block of Chandler, were likely related, but this one was not related to them. Police are asking anyone with information about any of the shootings to contact them at 217-431-2250. Or, if wishing to remain anonymous, Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477. Continuing on now, a second article here. Let's look at a little bit about some basketball. This article, entitled Focused on the Future, Robinson Patterson Strive to Connect with Danville's Young Risers. This article is by Colin Likas. Durrell Robinson and Zach Patterson each made one of their primary objectives perfectly clear on Thursday, tap into Danville's youth. Even though both of the high school's basketball programs finished above 500 last season, their new coaches already are thinking of the future. Robinson and Patterson were approved by the Danville School Board on Wednesday night to lead the Vikings during the 2019-2020 season, with Robinson in charge of the boys' program and Patterson leading the girls' program. How did Robinson, a 1995 Danville graduate, celebrate the news? "I danced," Robinson said. "They asked me the first thing I'd do if I was hired, and I said I'd dance. A simple two-step." He also stopped by Northridge Middle School on Thursday afternoon to chat with some of his potential future players. Robinson, 42, takes over for Ted Hope, who stepped aside April 8th after seven seasons helming the Vikings. Robinson most recently oversaw the Pontiac boys basketball team, collecting a 34-26 record across the past two seasons, before resigning on April 25th. "There's always been a special love with Danville High School, since I feel like I am Danville," Robinson said. "When this job opened up, everything felt right." A theoretically strong roster returns for Robinson's maiden voyage, as just one starter graduates from a 31-win squad that qualified for a Class 4A sectional final. The Vikings may be hindered early, though, as rising junior Tevin Smith recently underwent ACL surgery, and rising senior Robert Stroud is dealing with an off-season injury as well. "These issues aren't slowing down Robinson. One of my personal goals is, we haven't won a sectional title since my junior year at Danville in 94," he said. "That's a realistic goal we can set." Patterson is well known around the junior college men's hoop scene, having assisted at Danville Area Community College, Washburn Valley College, and Lincoln Trails College. The 33-year-old also is a 2004 Oakwood graduate who steered the Chrisman boys team during the 2017-18 season. "Coaching's in my blood," Patterson said. "My dad was a coach when I was younger. I pay attention to what's going on now, with the area being very strong the last couple years. It's good timing to get started in girls' basketball." Patterson's only extended run on the female side of the sport resulted from a year with the Westville Junior High School 8th graders, and he described it as one of his most enjoyable campaigns. He'll now oversee a crew led by rising junior Aaron Haupt, a reigning News Gazette All-Area First Team selection, and one that most recently was paced by Demetric Hightower, who led the Vikings to a 35-24 record the last two seasons. Having some of those freshmen get some experience in 2018-19, "You can't teach experience," Patterson said. "I'm just real excited they do have some experience coming back. It makes a huge difference at the varsity level." Both Patterson and Robinson also are anticipating a specific aspect with their coaching debuts at Danville. For Patterson, it's knowing just who will be in the stands during many of the Vikings' bouts. "I'm excited because I might be able to get a free coach in Ted Hope," Patterson said. "It's nice to have a coach like that there beside you." For Robinson, it's returning to his alma mater, with the home crowd's support versus when he trekked to Danville with Pontiac for a non-conference game in December of 2018. "I don't think I can explain it," Robinson said. "It was awesome to be able to come back when I was with Pontiac, to come back in the gym, then being on the other side. So I don't think I'll be able to describe that." Let's continue here with an article by Christopher Morocco. This is about canine group to raise awareness at War Museum out of Danville. "Saturday will be a day to get the word out on a worthy cause. Handlers and canines from Mission Canine Warrior will be on hand from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Vermilion County War Museum, 307 North Vermilion Street. Me and some of our guys that's got the dogs, we're just going to show up and hang out," said one of the group's founders, Dave Hughes. The program invites veterans who have suffered with post-traumatic stress syndrome to apply for the services of a highly trained canine service dog. The team reviews applications and, should the right fit be found, provides the dog to the veteran. Qualifications include: veteran must have served in a combat theater that contributed to PTSD or TBI. The veteran must be in services for PTSD or TBI with a 30% rating. The veteran must be able to provide a good home and healthy diet for the canine service dog. The veteran must provide consistent veterinary care for the life of the canine service dog. The veteran, the canine trainer, has final say. For the veteran, the canine trainer has final say on qualifying the applicants. Hughes, who is service officer at the Georgetown American Legion Post 203, brought the idea for Mission Canine Warrior to the post, and the whole board loved the idea. However, finding the right dog, sending it to the trainer, doing all the work to match the dog with the right person, as with anything else, takes money. And while Saturday's event is not a fundraiser, Hughes hopes that getting the word out about the group's work will help in that area as well. "We work hard to receive funds," Hughes said. "We accept donations, we have fundraisers, we do bucket drops, sell t-shirts and coffee cups. It's very rewarding, but it is hard work." Mission Canine Warrior works with Midwest Professional Canine Services to train the dogs. They are the ones who find, choose, and train the dogs. Mission Canine Warriors finds the local veteran and sends the veteran towards MPCS. "We're a big team," Hugh says. "We've got a good team of veterans." He said he's going to get as many of the veterans and their dogs to Saturday's event as possible, two of whom are Vietnam War veterans. The Vermilion County War Museum invites everyone to the event to meet the members of the program and learn more about it and what you can do to help a veteran. For information about this event, check out the Facebook page of the Vermilion County War Museum or Mission Canine Warrior. Marches for Peace to begin. An article here by Jennifer Bailey. Organizers start fourth summer of efforts to stop the violence. Some weeks it's becoming a daily occurrence. Another person has been shot in the city. Memorial Day weekend saw three people with gunshot wounds. This year in the city of Danville, there already has been five fatal shootings. There were three in a week's time in April, including pizza delivery driver Terry L. Gaines. Saturday marks the fourth year for the Marches for Peace, started by the Three Kings of Peace. The marches start at 6 p.m., and there will again feature a block party at the end of each one. One of the Three Kings, Ed Butler, who is also local NAACP president, said where the city is today, "People are beginning to kind of wake up," he said. "We knew it was going to get a little worse, with fellows moving into town," Butler said. "Now people are beginning to somewhat listen to our message." He said some people are starting to see something, say something. "More and more people are beginning to wake up now, and we're letting people know we are getting tired of this violence," Butler said. He said some people who post videos showing their guns on social media need to be brought in. "The community needs to work with the police department and state's attorney's office," he said. "We're aware of your soliciting of violence," he said, "about those people on social media." He thinks it will deter some violence if the community says, "We're watching. We're watching you, and there's action that's going to be taken." According to the Three Kings of Peace, the goal of the marches is to help people know their neighbors and to know who to trust in being a part of the solution to Danville's crime and violence. The marches are to encourage participation in peaceful solution to violence and urge citizens to speak up when they know of any information pertaining to a crime. Past marches have been upwards of 75 people who have participated. Butler said they've seen more and more people participate since the first year. "They realize it's very much needed," he said. The organizers have changed the locations for the marches some since the start due to criminals moving from the neighborhoods. Butler said he's also talked to neighborhood association representatives about activity changes in the neighborhoods. "We'll march in their areas. It just depends on where there's a lot of activity," he said. The marches on certain streets are to let the people know we are aware of the situation with all the shootings and violence, Butler said. "I'm glad people are kind of waking up now, and we need to do something," he added. Butler encourages even more people to come out and support this movement this summer. He said some parents come out and talk to them as they march. He too said it's kind of touching, too, when some people come out who stay locked up in their homes. Block parties also will return this year at the end of the marches with food and some games for children to play. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. brought out games last year when he was an alderman. "It's just having fun," Butler said of the block parties. Butler stressed of the marches, they are doing the community good. "We shouldn't have to wait until something happens to take action and to bring awareness of the activities," he said. There are those of us that really care about our city. He's also supportive of the other candlelight vigils and other events local residents are having in the city's parks against violence. I think it's good. We kind of need to come together a little bit more. The community needs to come together to show unity, Butler said. He said again that the marches for peace need to continue. They are kind of significant in different areas of our town as we focus on those different areas, he said, saying again it's to let those fellows know we are aware of what they're doing and they just need to stop. Butler said there continues to be fellows who make wrong moves and they have no morals or respect. The remaining issue, however, are other people still not coming forward to say what they know. Now let's look at a few community briefs here. From Danville, we have magnifier available. Danville residents can get a free lighted magnifier and evaluation from Chittick Family Eye Care from 9:30 to 11 a.m. and 1:30 to 3 p.m. today at the Danville Public Library. Contact the Outreach Department at 477-5227 for information. Lunch scheduled. Vermilion County Republican women plan a ladies' luncheon featuring Jody Golden as the keynote speaker from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Danville Country Club. Tickets are $25. And this out of Covington, Indiana, a 5K is scheduled. The 10th annual Covington 5K Run Walk will be Saturday. The event will begin at 8 a.m. EDT at Covington City Park. Registration will be available until 7:30 a.m. EDT Saturday. Participants can pick up packets at 7 a.m. EDT Saturday at Covington City Park. Proceeds will benefit the Covington Cooperative Swim Program. And here from Georgetown, fundraiser set. Georgetown Historical Society plans a spring fling bake sale and vendor market, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday at the Historical House, 510 South Main Street. Baked goods will be in the house and vendors will be in the parking lot near the Save-A-Lot. The market will include nice quilted items, weathered and worn, damsel in distress, and more. And lastly, from Westville, Library plans movie. The next Wednesday afternoon at the movies at the Westville Public Library will begin at 2 p.m. Wednesday. The movie stars Robert Redford in his last film role. It is based on a true story of Forrest Tucker, who escapes from San Quentin. Call 267-3170 for information or to reserve your seat. And here from the Tribune News Service, CEO out as Economic Development Corporation head. Less than a year after being hired, Land of Lincoln Economic Development Corporation president and CEO Eric Berglund has been fired, the corporation announced Wednesday morning. According to a news release, a regularly scheduled audit found potential financial irregularities. This sparked an internal investigation, which concluded with Berglund's termination for acknowledged improper actions. Dan Dungan, chairman of the corporation's executive committee, said Berglund confessed to misapplying funds on Friday. He was immediately suspended and upon the conclusion of the internal investigation dismissed on Tuesday. Springfield police have also been notified, though a report has yet to be filed, Chief Kenny Winslow said. Berglund, who earned $150,000 annually, did not respond to requests for comment, according to the State Journal Register in Springfield. Berglund, formerly the president of the Southwest Florida Economic Development Alliance, was hired as the LLEDC's first CEO in July. Before his job in Florida, Berglund was the president and CEO of Upstate Colorado Economic Development and held various other roles in economic development and the banking industry. Bringing Berglund on board was considered a major coup for the newly formed corporation, which was founded to provide a region-wide focus on economic development using seed money from Sangamon County, the City of Springfield, and various community organizations. Its formation was announced after an October 2017 study found that Springfield and Sangamon County must rethink their economic development and job creation to reverse years of slowing tax revenues, stagnant population growth, and traditional reliance on state government. When he was introduced in July 2018, corporation board members lauded Berglund as their unanimous choice after the interview process. They said his outside perspective, that he was not from Sangamon County, was an attractive quality. And beyond this episode, many important economic development players in Springfield thought Berglund was doing a good job. Reaction ranged from surprised to misbelief and shock. It's very frustrating for the obvious reason, but even more so because he did seem to be doing an excellent job and was building community support and seemed to be the right guy for the job, said Sangamon County Administrator Brian McFadden. And that's what makes this all so surprising. Let's turn to a few obituaries now. James Kochel. James Jim Leslie Kochel, 73, of Covington, Indiana, died at 9:41 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, May 28, 2019, at the Franciscan Hospital in Lafayette, Indiana. Visitation, 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, June 1, at Stringtown Church of God, Covington. Memorial service, 3 p.m. Saturday at the church. A dinner will be served at the conclusion of this service. Larry Young Sr. Larry Eugene Young Sr., 79, of Ridge Farm, Illinois, passed away Monday, May 27, 2019, at Danville VA Medical Center. Funeral services will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, June 1, at Crable Funeral Home in Chrisman. Visitation will be 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the service. Burial will follow at Young American Cemetery, with full military rites afforded by Chrisman American Legion Post 477. Randy Allen Crane. Randy Allen Crane, 63, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 8:05 p.m. Wednesday, May 29, 2019, in his home, surrounded by family. A celebration of Randy's life will be at 5 p.m. EDT, Sunday, June 2, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, Covington, 423rd Street. Visitation will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday at the funeral home. Henry Kochvar. Henry Hank Kochvar, 88, of Paris, Illinois, passed away at 12:49 a.m. Sunday, May 26, 2019, at Paris Healthcare Center. Services celebrating his life will be conducted at 2 p.m. Saturday, June 1, at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Burial will follow in Georgetown Cemetery in Georgetown, Illinois. Military rites will be conducted by American Legion Post 211 and VFW Post 3601. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Eugene Snap, Jr. Eugene Gilbert Snap, Jr., 77, of Eureka, formerly of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away on May 25, 2019, at the Loft Rehab and Nursing, formerly Maple Lawn in Eureka. Funeral service will be at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 2nd, at Georgetown Friends Church in Georgetown, with visitation 1 to 2 p.m. prior to the services at the church. Pastor John Myers will be officiating. Burial will be at Georgetown Cemetery. Argo Russman Harris Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Thomas W. Wolfe. Thomas W. Wolfe, 93, of Danville, passed away at 9:23 p.m. Monday, May 20th, 2019, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Memorial services, 6 p.m. Monday, June 3rd, at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Jay Sorrell officiating. Burial at a later date in the National Cemetery in Danville. Visitation is 5 to 6 p.m. Monday at Robeson Chapel. Let's look at a few Midwest voices. The governor signs these good governmental bills. Let's see what we can do with this article. We were pleased to see last week that Illinois lawmakers had sent these to Governor J.B. Pritzker. They're a pair of good government bills that merit his signature. The two unrelated but important bipartisan bills are HB 2265, which would require Illinois middle schools to create and include a much-needed unit on civics education. The class would be created by educators and funded by private donations. And HB 348, which would give township voters via referendum the power to dissolve township governments in McHenry County, but has the potential to be expanded to include other communities in this government-heavy state. That's where we're going to stop today, this last day of May, May 31st, 2019. This is Donna Reed that's been reading the Vermilion County News with you today. I hope to talk with you again soon. Have a great day.